Hello, listeners. Nicholas Marco here, and I am the Opportunity Coach. I am here to turn curiosity into conversation on entrepreneurship and everyday success. I am an entrepreneur who has started thriving businesses across multiple industries, and I found that there just isn't a playbook to solve every problem in business. I know now that you must change your lens on how you look at these situations, because every problem is an opportunity. We will drop a new episode on the first and third Thursday of every month, and on these episodes, I will be bringing to you top-notch leaders, executives, founders, and disruptors from all industries, sharing their stories of hurdling obstacles and forging new paths to achieve their goals. My content will propel you into a position to score success. All I ask is you pause and listen, learn and reflect, then go act. Opportunity awaits, so off we go! Hello to all my listeners. It's Nicholas Marco here, the Opportunity Coach, coming at you. Very excited about this one. Very grateful to have this guy. He's very busy. You know, he's one of those guys that he doesn't even know what an away message is on his emails. Like, he's always available. So I'm glad to have him. I'm actually introducing a good friend of mine, Chris Rodeo, both the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Town Title Agency. He's a very good friend to my cousin, Joe Gorga, and I really just instantly connected with him the moment I met him, and really just amazing to have a fellow entrepreneur here. So without further ado, Chris, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you very much.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I am very excited to be here.
So, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer, Town Title Agency, I find, and even with myself when I first met you, title, right? Not everyone really even understands the concept. And I quickly realized that you are this disruptor in the industry with the way you think. And I think that's why you've been so successful in title. But how did you get to where you are today? Tell us about Chris Rodeo and what is your story in your professional life?
So it's a funny story, and most success stories that I've heard in my life always start out very ironic, and this one is really no different. So you never know where you're going to end up is really the bottom line. And I would say that, you know, when I first started, not necessarily in the title business or in the real estate business, but just started in life, I had a vision of, everyone does, right? Where they think they're going to be. You're going to work at this company for 25 years. You're going to retire here. And that's what life is going to be. And I kind of grew up in a very old school household mentality. You know, my father worked at the same company for 30 years.
And what did your father do?
So my father was in financial services. He was in the insurance business to some degree. He worked for a big company. You may have heard of it, Prudential Financial. He started there in the early 1970s and was there for 30 years. So, you know, I watched him. And that's really where I got most of my business acumen. And, you know, the start of my business career really started at home. My dad was a very successful businessman and suit and tie guy, went to work very early, came home very late, was out every night. And that's really what I knew growing up.
Your father, the way he spoke about you at your birthday party.
I was just going to say, you saw it firsthand. Yeah,
I saw it firsthand. And I can relate in terms of the bond I have and the inspiration that my father has instilled upon me. It does make you not take for granted the power of parenting and the influence that you can have on your son. So you had your father as an amazing influence, but it sounds like you really ended up in a place professionally that you had no idea you would end up.
You're exactly right. And so it's funny. So I literally started working from a very, very young age. I think I was 11 or 12 years old. My parents bought a restaurant. As I said, my dad was in business. My mother worked. My dad always had an aspiration to own a restaurant, which I still share with him today. It was something he always wanted to do. He had the ability to do it, and he did it. And I was right there with him. The restaurant business literally set me up, I believe, to be who I am today in a number of areas. One, definitely in terms of relationship development. There's no doubt about the fact that the restaurant business created my ability to connect with people. I knew I loved it from day one. I was in the back of the house, but I was the guy that came out and saw the front of the house, wanted to connect with people, wanted to glad hand the customers, wanted to see their satisfaction. That to me was, it wasn't so much about making money and seeing the restaurant busy. It was more about their satisfaction. And that's something that keeps with me today. I knew back then in the restaurant business that I was going to be a people person is the bottom line.
Well, it's crazy talking to you because I'm thinking like, oh my God, like you're a perfect real estate agent. Like I think people when they hear you talk would never think, all right, so I don't understand real estate. Why aren't you a real estate agent? Instead, you're entitled. What I want to make sure we hit on is how it is, I think, your secret sauce. You know, I've met people entitled. They're not like you. But what happened next after this experience in the restaurant industry?
I sold suits.
Oh my God, I love it.
I did that for a few years. The guy who ran the store, who's ultimately unfortunately passed away, but he was a good friend of mine, good friend of my dad's guy. He's the one that hired me. And he was always like, I can always count on you. He goes, no one else can, you know, come in anytime I needed you. You're always there. So I had a short career in fashion, men's fashion. I wound up, you know, I was at the time the Giants were coming in. I made friends with the Giants. I had another guy that worked with me. He owned a limousine company. And together we would, you know, we would wine and dine these guys. And next thing you know, we had the whole team. It was amazing. So, you know, they had a rule that, you know, I was part-time, only full-time salespeople can sell suits. Well, that rule changed pretty fast because all of my clients wanted suits. So I went to the guy and I said, Tony, look, I said, these are my clients. I said, they want me, they want suits. I got to be able to sell suits. He changed the rule. They went nuts. I mean, in a week's time, I was doing more business than these guys who have been there 20, 30 years. And that's what drove me. Again, not the money. It was the thrill. It was the energy. It was the excitement. So another great experience in my life. Met a lot of people. Same type of thing. So you can see the trend, the relationship development piece continues.
Yeah. And there's just a trust. Ultimately, there's a trust that's happening there because they're repeat buyers, right? And they only really want you because they don't want to deal with the potential mess up. And that makes a lot of sense why you did so well.
Correct. But it was also that I anticipated their needs. And that's a theme that's going to continue later in life. And I feel that I'm very good at now is anticipating what they needed, what they wanted, what they liked. Everyone's style was different. When something new came in, I was able to say, hey, this would be good for so-and-so, or, you know, this guy would like this. And that's how I really ran the business and ran my sales in terms of, you know, what I knew people would like. And that's part of connecting with people. It's not a square peg in a round hole. It's finding the right fit for everybody. And when you anticipate someone's needs, that's how you really become successful.
Right.
Over the course of all these jobs that I've had and the different businesses that I've been in, I think the common theme has always been trust, connecting with people, and being able to, you know, adapt and anticipate their needs.
I think when you think of sales coaching out there, maybe that theme isn't represented enough, the anticipation of the need, because that to me is the difference between good and great. You know, if you can think ahead of what I'm going to ask for next, and so I don't even have to ask, forget about it, right? I don't want to go anywhere else because that is hard to find.
You're making their life easier. I mean, and that's a common theme in every aspect, all businesses, all service related businesses. How can you make my life easier?
Right. All right. So you're doing all things in a restaurant, any hat you need to wear, you grew up in that business.
Yep.
Now you're selling suits. What's next?
So I did a little stint in fashion after I left that. I worked for Kenneth Cole for a period of time. I liked it. Again, continued that. But ultimately, I knew that, you know, this was not for me. I'm a suit and tie guy. I'm a businessman. I have to find my niche. And I was young and I was motivated. So at this point I think I just turned 18. I might've been 17. Actually, I think I just turned 18. And my sister-in-law happened to work for a company, a big healthcare company, in New Jersey that had just gotten started, not long before. And she needed somebody. And here I come on the scene, suit and tie, got the job, and I was like off to the races. I was so excited. I had a desk, I had a phone, I had a business card, and I knew I was going to give everything that I had into this job. It was in healthcare, specifically in long-term care, assisted living. I love the business. I wanted to know everything about it. Anything I do, I commit to 100%. I will never, ever do anything that's half-assed.
And how long did you do that for?
So I did that for almost 10 years, believe it or not. I did that for about 9 years. It was a great company. It was a great job. I was promoted several times. The company grew. I grew with them. I became a licensed nursing home administrator. I was one of the youngest in the state. I became a certified assisted living administrator. Again, one of the youngest in the state. Not an easy license to get. Spent a lot of hours, had to have a lot of experience, moved around, went to college, went to Seton Hall University, went to school 2 days a week, worked full-time 3 days a week. We had just opened a facility not far from where I went to school. So it actually worked out pretty well at the time. And did that for almost 10 years and I had a great career. And that's kind of where the opportunity really came about. I had met my partner during my career in healthcare. I had known him. I knew his family. We were both from the same general area. And basically, in a nutshell, he told me, you know, you'd be really good at what I do. I said, well, what do you do? And the rest is really history. We hit it off. We became friends, good friends, close friends. And, you know, I, again, learned every aspect I could about the business. Where the opportunity came in was that I had to make a very serious decision. You know, I thought I had a great career in healthcare, which I did have. But I saw the earning potential. I saw the opportunity in real estate, in title insurance. And I saw what he did. And he had a similar story. You know, he really had a similar story. He was a teacher and took a chance. And so I said, well, if I'm going to do this and I'm going to really commit to it and take a chance, now's the time, right? The opportunity is endless. There's no ceiling or limit on what we can do. And he gave me an opportunity, which I will never forget.
Wow. How long did he know you before this conversation happened?
You know, we knew each other for probably, you know, 10 years prior. I was younger, but I knew his family. He was related to a lot of people that I knew. So there was definitely we had a history. We weren't friends at the time, but we were friendly and we knew each other. So when we really started to connect, because what happened was I was out with my clients in healthcare. He was out with his clients and we'd cross paths a lot. And we got to talking. And that's really when the opportunity came up. And he said, you know, I see you. You remind me of me. I think you can do really well at what I do. And here's what it is. And, you know, and over time, it was a couple of years. And I learned about the business and I understood it. And it was intriguing to me. And I said, well, you know, if I'm going to take a leap of faith, I was making a lot of money at the time. And I was 26 years old, probably somewhere around there. I said, you know, if I'm going to make any type of adjustment, now would be the time to do it. So I basically gave up a 9 year, almost 10 year career in healthcare to do something that I'm going to make a lot less money in the beginning. But ultimately I saw, you know, that there was a lot of opportunity down the line and something that I could really grow and evolve and make into something big.
I think you would agree that professionals don't realize you're always interviewing by just doing your job well. I love when someone grabs somebody from watching them in action. When you identify talent and then you recruit it, that's some of the best success stories. So opportunity found you, but at the end of the day, I think your father set you up to a life that made opportunity find you through initially one, setting an amazing example for you, but then two, having you involved in the restaurant and you wearing all these hats. It's amazing when you really reflect how you really are just this product of this amazing experience that you've had, you know, that has taught you so much. So you come into Town Title Agency and now you're the chief operating officer, but how long you've now been with this company?
So I think it's about 13, 14 years going on. I started on basically a part-time basis when we first started. Small book of business out in Sussex County. That's how I kind of segued into it, made a small investment into the company, you know, back then, and watched it grow, and then ultimately moved into a full-time position. So really, again, committed 100% to learning every aspect of the business, wanted to know, you know, how to do everything from scratch, up and down, learn the business, and here we are today. So we've done so much, accomplished so much in such a short period of time. You know, but I did take a lot of my experiences from my prior lives, both the restaurant business, both healthcare, sales, etc., and applied it to this business, and you'd be surprised. So to your point about being a disruptor, we scared a lot of people when I came on the scene in this industry. We definitely did. Some of our biggest competitors have come to me now, and most of them were friendly with him, said, hey, you know, when you got into this business, we knew we were in trouble. So I take that as a compliment. But, you know, we have a great deal of respect for even our competitors. Several of them we get along very well with and have a great deal of respect for. But I do feel, without saying too much, but I think we revolutionized the title business in terms of the way we approached marketing, business development, sales, the way we approached client development, I think was unorthodox. And I think people were so stuck in a rut in terms of the way, well, this is the way we do it, this is the way it has to be done. And I'm like, well, who said? Why do you have to do it that way? So we definitely caused some disruption in the market in terms of reinventing and revolutionizing some of the sales tactics and strategies that had existed prior.
The thought that comes to mind is, you know, something that I have coached to my team, you know, hire personality, train the skill. And, you know, you're a testament to that. And I think what is amazing is your perspective and the way you think is what led to this disruption, because you had no preconceived notions on the way it was. You saw the way the business operated and something clearly just didn't make sense to you. You were the guy in the room that just said, but you don't have to do it that way. Who says, as long as that's a guideline that we can't break, do it differently, right?
Correct. Yeah. And obviously it's a heavily regulated business, which, you know, no issue there. But this is really just marketing and sales and strategy, you know, and don't get me wrong, the business was very successful prior to my arrival. And I always say Joe took it from A to B and we took it from B to Z and we did it together. We've grown nationally. We went from being licensed in New Jersey to licensed now in 16 different states throughout the country.
Wow.
We have a big presence in New York. We have a big presence in Florida. We have a big presence throughout the country. We started the 501c3 organization, the Town Title Foundation. That's going on. This is our ninth year we're coming into as far as our annual golf outing. We've raised, you know, over $1 million just in that one event alone, donating and supporting, you know, multiple charities, part of Hackensack Meridian Health, Hackensack University Medical Center, of which I'm a board member and a big part of and have been for many years. But yes, just taking a different approach, a different perspective and looking at things from a different lens, you'd be surprised at what you can accomplish.
So I feel like, is it common for title to branch out outside of even just one state? Because that feels unique to me.
It is. We're not your average title company, I will tell you that. Even though we are a New Jersey-based title company, we have tentacles everywhere. and our reputation has really preceded us. 22 years in the business, we're going on, this is our 22nd year this year. And the opportunities are still coming. So we entered into about a year or two ago, we started to decide, began to decide that we wanted to start acquiring the other title companies in terms of growth. You know, it was a tough time. Obviously, we went through COVID, busiest 2 years probably in our industry. Any real estate, any title professional will tell you that. However, this past year, 23, was probably one of the worst. So when they say you got to take the good with the bad, it's never been more true. So we entered into acquisition mode and started evaluating companies that we felt were appropriate for acquisition that had opportunity. We love opportunity. And fortunately, we looked at a few and found one that we just closed on 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we're very proud of. So, you know, this is hopefully the first of many for us.
I love it. Acquisition is always an effective strategy. And, you know, speak to that a little bit, because I think when you have a process and it works really well, I think a lot of people sometimes think, well, I'll just create it where as I go. I'm not going to acquire. Why would I acquire? But there's always value in acquisition, right? So talk to that.
Definitely. And I will say, I think it's not for everybody, but I do think you have to be a well-oiled machine in order to even consider any type of acquisition. And I do believe that we are that well-oiled machine. I mean, at that point, we were in business 20 years. Even if we look back, you know, the last year or two, you know, we had a 20-year track record of success. We had a formula that works, very technologically advanced. We've spent a lot of money and put a lot of money back into our business in terms of technology. Some of the, you know, marketing and business development strategies that we talked about before, they cost money. You know, you have to make an investment into your business, into your people, you know, sponsorships and giving back to the community and, you know, doing the right thing all play a big part in it. But to be able to create the special sauce and the formula that works, and not only works on a one-off basis, but that's scalable. And that's when you believe that you're ready for acquisition. And we believed we made a you know, an educated decision to say, hey, we've gotten there. We have it down. We have a reputation that's second to none, and we're ready. And we did. And that's really what we did. And so we took our model and applied it to potential acquisitions. We looked at a few. We found one that we thought was a good fit, and they had a great reputation as well. And we folded them in, and we wound up picking up a great guy who founded the company 18 years ago. He was an attorney, is an attorney, served in the Navy as a JAG lawyer, and now works for us. And we're happy to have him. And you know, you can really assemble a great team, and it's true what they say. There's really power in numbers in terms of looking at the right acquisitions and the right people. So I think we're well primed for additional acquisitions. The first one's always the hardest, as they say. And you know, we built a good cookie cutter template that we feel we can apply now to future acquisitions. And you know, this one went, knock on wood, very smooth. So other ones should only be smoother. And you know, we're excited to continue to evaluate and explore whatever opportunities come our way in the future.
So does Town Title Agency have their eyes on specific states for acquisition opportunities?
I wouldn't say specifically. Obviously, logistically, you know, we'd like to keep it to the areas that we feel we do a majority of our business in. So we do a lot of business on the East Coast, from Maine to Florida is really, you know, with some Midwest states, but I would say generally speaking, we have a big presence in New Jersey, New York, Florida, the Carolinas, you know, some Midwest states, but generally speaking, we like to keep it to where we feel we can create the most market share.
So it sounds like you have a really good process that I'm sure is very fluid as far as, you know, how you're vetting a potential opportunity. And but you look at anything and see, you know, if it makes sense, it makes sense. Town Title Agency is certainly well beyond residential title, but I can't help but want to lean into residential just because I think this is a hot topic for all the home buyers out there, you know, especially the ones that maybe are regretful that they waited. And now, you know, the interest rates, they're a little bit unsure of what to do. So what is your outlook being in this business?
So obviously, you know me pretty well. I'm an optimistic guy by default. And I'm very optimistic about this. So this is no different. As I said, I think we've battled through the storm of 2023. There's a slogan out there that says survive until 25 in the real estate world, which I think is very fitting. I actually think 24 will be a little better than people think, but survive until 25 is definitely a motto that I agree with. But I also think that the second half of 2024 will be better than people think. And the reasons I say that is we're already seeing just in the first quarter of 2024, which is typically in our business, a slow month. January, February, are typically two of the slowest months. November through February are really our slowest months. It's a very cyclical business, but we're already seeing indications that things are picking up. January was definitely a better month, certainly way better than 2023 was. February, the beginning of February was very good. We went through a couple slow weeks and now the last 2 weeks of the month, but we're definitely seeing some heavy pickup just in the last 7, 8, 10 days alone. So again, if the first 2 months of the year are any indication of what the rest of the year is going to bring, and that's all things being equal, remember, the 10-year is up. Rates actually peaked up a little bit, ticked up a little bit, which is not what people want to see. But I think the minute that Jay Powell lets everyone know that a rate cut is coming and is imminent, and I believe it's going to be sometime in May or June. A lot of people were banking on March. March is out. It's unlikely. It's a very slim chance. If I was a gambler, and I would say I am, I would say in the second half of 24, probably June is when we'll see our first rate cut, and then we're off to the races. So in our business, the rate cut obviously is not directly tied. The Fed rate is not directly tied to interest rates, but as that 10-year comes back down, rates come back down, interest rates come back down, I think you're going to start to see a tremendous amount of refinance activity, which, believe it or not, we're already seeing. So anyone that purchased anything in the last 20 months, call it, is in a position to refinance. So the flurry of refinances that we saw in 2020, 2021, even the beginning of 22, anyone who bought in 19 may have bought something and then refinanced two, maybe three times since that purchase. So I anticipate the same type of pattern to occur once the mortgage rates come back down, hopefully in the second half of 24.
And I don't know if this is a something that you could specifically help with if they go to you, but is there any strategy or tips to try to like reduce the closing costs that are associated with refinancing?
So it's obviously, as I mentioned, it's a regulated business. Title is a regulated business. So there's no reductions or discounts. However, the refinance rate on title insurance, the premium rate, it is lower than what they paid when they bought.
Okay.
So there is a benefit of getting a refinance. The refinance rate is sort of an old school terminology, but
right,
it's not a standard issue rate. There is a rate that is lower based on the purchase price, their existing mortgage, the new mortgage. So without getting into too many details and boring you guys with the rate manual, it definitely is less expensive on from a title premium perspective on a refinance than a purchase. But generally speaking, I think that, you know, depending on what mortgage company, what bank, what lender that clients are using, I'm sure there's ways that they're going to find, you know, savings, especially when, you know, they may be doing this multiple times over the course of the next year or two.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think at the end of the day, when you want a property, especially if it's, you know, primary residence and you feel good about the price, you can always refinance. So just because your payment is whatever it is the day you close, you're not locked into that. And don't let that scare you away from making the purchase of a home you really want.
Short-term pain for long-term gain.
That's right.
So to be more specific, if there's a house that you really want today and it's your dream house and you can afford it, don't pass it up.
Right.
Don't pass it up. The
right.
rate is coming down. Yep. The rate is not going to be, you know, 6 7/8 or 7 1/8, whatever it is today, forever. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not going to be like that, you know, in the long term. So I won't say that it's going to be 3, 3.5% again. It may be somewhere around 4, 4.5, 4, 4 7/8, somewhere like that. I don't know if we'll ever see sub 3% rates like we did during COVID. At least not maybe in our lifetimes, but anything's possible. But I just don't think that's realistic. But the average mortgage rate will be somewhere in the high 4s, low 5% range, probably not in the distant future again. So
Right.
I would say do not pass up an opportunity. Residential, especially commercial, is a different animal. Mm-hmm. But on the residential side, find the house, get the house. And let me just say this. When the rates come down, the house that's, you know, $850,000 might be $900,000 when the rates go up. Because remember, your buying power, borrower buying power, goes up when rates are low. So you're able to afford a much higher payment at a lower interest rate. So for your average home buyer, residential home buyer, you know, that house that's, you know, $800,000 or $850,000, you know, during a point where rates are low, you might be able to go to a $900,000, $950,000, $1,000,000, because you're saving, think about it, a 6% rate versus a 3% rate. Let's just say during COVID, you're talking about a 300 basis point spread, which is very significant on, you know, an $800,000 mortgage. So it provides a lot more borrowing and buying power for your average residential home buyer.
Right. Yeah. I think you're making me realize, when you're buying any kind of property, at the end of the day, you just got to feel good about the price. The rate can change, right? And especially if you feel like the price is going to then go up, you know, the value goes up, then you, it's a win-win. You know, we just don't want to overpay.
No, the deal's the deal. But let me also, just a shout out to my residential mortgage brokers and lenders. There's also several other products that are available other than the 30-year fixed rate, you know, 5-year ARMs, 7-year ARMs, 10-year ARMs, interest-only loans. You know, the list goes on and on. So as I said, you know, there's always a way that your bank or your lender can figure out a way to, you know, save you some money on various products that exist. But yeah, I would say do not wait. Find the house, buy the house, and the rate is variable.
Well, Chris, I want to respect your time. I know you got to head to a dinner because you're always networking and always on the move, which I totally respect. Your story is so inspiring. I love knowing that you started in the restaurant industry. I did not know that, so that was fun for me to realize. And you are doing an incredible job in your role at Town Title, and it's really fun for me to listen to you. The fact that you make title interesting, you know, that alone I think is pretty impressive.
And pretty boring otherwise. You know,
but you know, who knows where you'll go? I don't know. Can you see yourself ever doing something else at some point besides? I know you said maybe opening up a restaurant. I'm just curious because you have such talent.
Yeah, I mean, look, I love what I do. I really, really love what I do. I do, and I don't consider it a job. I consider it, you know, it's part of my life. It's, you know, it's, we're in Aruba, and you know, I'm talking to people, meeting people who you know, who's in real estate, who's doing what. So I never looked at it that way. But listen, I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm always interested in various investment opportunities. You never know where things are going to go. But you know, for now, this is where I'm supposed to be.
I love it. Well, you're a proactive, dependable, trustworthy entrepreneur. The list goes on and on. It's been an absolute pleasure hearing of your story. The Opportunity Coach has truly found another, I think, amazing episode here to just stay in line with this, you know, amazing theme of how opportunity is really everything, and it's right under your nose sometimes. So just everyone, you know, working hard and just making relationships goes a very long way. So thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure. I will definitely be talking to you soon, as always, and just appreciate you being on my podcast.
Nick, thank you for having me, brother. I appreciate it. I love what you do. Your energy is contagious. Your passion for what you do is contagious. And I don't know that we can have a much more enjoyable conversation talking about financial statements than I do when I talk to you.
It's a passion of mine.
But I wish you nothing but the best and success in this podcast. I know you're going to kill it. I'm curious to see and very excited to see all of your future guests. And I'm honored to be one of the first ones. So congratulations to you too.
Thank you, my man. Appreciate you.